Morning, Alan. Thank you so much for speaking with me. Congratulations on the award. So, could you tell us a bit about the awards for those who are unfamiliar with them?
Yes, well, it's probably not had as much publicity as other awards, and yet it's a very generous award, and it's got several aspects to it. A short list of six authors, it's got a military history prize, and then the People's Choice Award, and an overall prize. And it's sponsored by Mark and Yvette Moran and Waverley Council and the library. So there's a lot of hard work goes into it. I think the long list was 20 books. The short list was six books. So a lot of people do a lot of hard work to make the awards happen.
Yeah, and let's not forget your hard work as well. One of the things that came out in the press releases about this award was your exceptional research stood out from the pack, which, considering the other entrants in the field, is quite the compliment.
Yes, well, it's one of the things that I said. It was quite an honour to be amongst that shortlist because each of those books represented a lot of hard work and research. And so that was part of the honour. And for me, I suppose, winning the award is an affirmation that all the hard work that I put in has paid off. And not only that you never know when you're writing, it's quite an isolating sort of solitary pursuit. You don't know that how people are going to take what you put out there, whether it's going to be taken the way you intended. And I suppose receiving an award like this is affirmation and confirmation that you got it right.
So could you tell us a bit about the research process that took you from finding this suitcase in your family home to eventually working up to this book that led to that confirmation?
Well, I think the path was a long and circuitous one because originally when I started out to research my father's story as a combat cameraman in the army in the Second World War, I'd sort of thought of it as a family thing. I was going to do it as a family thing. And then I realised how big the story was and that there were some themes emerging from it that were very important to today. And so I embarked on that research and it took me to archives in England, in the Netherlands, in Germany, and many hours of poring over documents and listening to oral histories, reading military histories. And at one point I realised that dealing with the atrocities committed at Bergen-Belsen, I mean, and these were the photographs that kind of inspired my research, that was quite difficult for me and I was having a lot of emotional problems. So, you know, I went back to university and I did a PhD where I focused my research around the way people engage with images of atrocity and, in fact, whether we should at all. So after doing the PhD, I then wanted to turn it into a book that was accessible for a lot of people. And so then that involved another layer of research because I used reconstructions in the story as well as biography memoir. And so I then introduced another layer of research about time and place and weather and all that sort of thing. So that became very fine-grained at that point.
So obviously all of that research is very detailed and would have taken, as you mentioned, going to the archives to find out all of these details. But with it being a family story, how much of that would have come from that explicit research as opposed to stories that you'd heard through your time growing up?
Well, I think he shares in common with a lot of people who've had the war experience and particularly who've had particularly traumatic ones. He didn't really speak a great deal about it. And I knew basically the history. I knew that he had fought in North Africa as a paratrooper. And I knew that he had filmed the Battle of Arnhem and the liberation of Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. But I didn't really know the depths of his story. And strangely enough, I didn't know much about his early history before the war. It was almost as if he sprang to life as a paratrooper and because he was estranged from his family. So it was a big learning curve for me, and I was able to draw on memory for a few bits and pieces, and of course certainly for his character and the way I thought he would react in certain situations and how he might talk, because his oral history, although it was compelling, was very vague on time and place, so I had to supply that sort of thing.
So having gone through and added these pieces to the story and found out all of this extra information, how do you think a competition with a military history award like this one encourages remembering these past atrocities to learn from them?
In particularly the military history, well, I think by overall, this award focuses on the quality of the research. And then it looks at the importance of the research to us now and the readability of the books. But I think really by focusing on the quality of the research, it's making sure that we have well-researched stories, good well-researched stories that tell us some of these histories. So I think that's an important part of it.
I see. So were you able to check out any of the other entrants to the competition? What were some of the other highlights in the awards?
Well, I think there were several highlights, and one was the People's Choice Award, which was for Briley. The People's Choice Award for Briley's Eggshell Skull, which I think is particularly a well-timed book. Although she started it many years ago, it's a story about harassment and sexual assault and how people negotiate the legal system. And I have not read that book yet, and I have bought it to read, and I think that's going to be a very important book. But all of them there, I think, in their own way, were important. The Call of the Reed Warbler is an environmental book that's very much of the moment. So, as I say, I was very honoured to be among such a diverse and important range of books.
So now that you've gone through being part of this competition, made this foray into your own family history and war history, do you think this will be your last endeavour in this particular field, given your PhD? Will you expand it into other areas, or mainly focusing still on war photography and war history as you move forward?
I think it won't be my last foray into research, because I'm one of those people that love spending time in archives. It really pushes my buttons. And I find it very interesting, and I often say that there are a lot of voices in the archive. When you start working with an archive, you're always coming across other little stories here and there, and it's almost like these voices are asking to have their stories told too. Whether I deal with the Second World War again, I don't know, but I am certainly very interested in the way images are used, and have become increasingly conscious that we consume a vast amount of images, many of which we have no idea who created it or why they created it or where it comes from or even what we're supposed to get from it. And that was something very important to me in telling of this story, is that I made sure that all the images, I gave them as much provenance as I could, so that we knew where they came from and when they were taken. And I think it's something we need to look at more in this day and age. A friend of mine said, a young Iranian woman said to me that she said, the only images we ever see when we talk about Iran are women in the hijab, or women covered from head to foot in black. And she said, that's not all we are in Iran. So I think, yes, I think we need to question what we consume in that way.